Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, attaining the supreme text number 25. Dumo Ratri Sita Krishna Shanma Sadakshanayinam Tatra Chandrama Samjotir Yogi Prapya Nivartite. Duma, smoke. Ratri, night. Tata, also. Krishna, the fortnight of the dark moon. Satmasa, the 6 months. Dakshina Ayanam, when the sun passes on the southern side. Tatra, there. Chandramasam, the moon planet. Jyoti, the light. Yogi, the mystic. Prapya, achieving. Nivartite, comes back. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Prabhupada, the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in fruitive activities and sacrificial methods on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years by demigod calculations and enjoy life by drinking samarasa. They eventually return to earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, though they may not be perceived by the gross sensors. Text 26. Sukla Krishna Gati Yete Jagatak Shasvate Mate Ekaya Yatina Ritim Anya Vartate Punak. According to the Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When passes in light, he does not come back. When he passes in darkness, he returns. Purport, the same description of departure and return is quoted by Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushana from the Chandoga Upanishad. Those who are fruit laborers and philosophical speculators from time immemorial are constantly coming and going, going and coming. Actually, they do not attain ultimate salvation, for they do not surrender to Krishna. Naiti Shriti Partha Janan Yogi Muyati Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukta Bhavarjuna. Though the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. For both Krishna is here advising Arjuna that he should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. Devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in his service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe and certain and direct. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness in all his activities. Sri Rupa Goswami advises, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yadarha Upayum Jitaha. One should be unattached to material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. By the system which is called Yoga Yukta Vairagya, one attains perfection. Therefore the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions because he knows that his passage to the supreme abode is guaranteed by devotional service. The material world is quite complicated, in case you haven't noticed it. And it's even more complicated. We don't know how it's working. Even people expert at karmakanda, they often get it wrong. For instance, when Krishna killed Kasiraj, and Kasiraj, and what's he, his name what was the name of the one who's imitating Krishna? Begins with a P. He disguised himself. He had four arms. Pandraga. What's that? Pandraga. Yeah, Pandraga sent a letter to Krishna saying, "My dear Krishna, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've come here to deliver all souls. I heard a rumor that you were imitating me. So I advise you to give up your conch wheel and lotus flower and come here and surrender to me." So he sent a letter to Krishna, and when the outer dynasty heard it, headed by King Ugrasena, they all laughed very loudly. So Krishna told the messenger, "Go back and tell your master, Pandraka, that, yes, I'm going to go there and give him my mercy. I'm going to take my disc and I'm going to slice his head off with it." So Krishna, indeed, he went to wherever Pandraka was living, I can't remember. His friend, his Kasiraj, was there. Maybe he was visiting his friend in Kasi. Kasiraj was there. And Pandraka came out to fight with Krishna because he had actually gotten a benediction from Narada Muni that he could get four arms. So, but everything else was an imitation. Imitation, Kostuba jewel. Imitation, he was wearing a yellow dhoti, helmet just like Krishna's, etc. Vijayanti garland, which wasn't so victorious. And he came out to fight with Krishna, and Kasiraj came also with so many Akshohini's divisions of soldiers. Of course, we know Krishna cut off his head, and he cut off the head of Kasiraj and sent it into the city of Kasi. In any case, Kasiraj's son didn't take it very lightly, Sudakshina, and he performed a sacrifice to satisfy Lord Shiva in order to avenge the death of his father. So Shiva came and said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "I'd like to kill Krishna." So Lord Shiva said, "Well, I think you should perform a sacrifice. And if you perform the sacrifice, a demon will appear, this black demon will come. And he can kill anyone except for a qualified Brahmin. Of course, God is no problem for him." So he performed the sacrifice, the demon came, black guy, with a huge guy with his hair was like burning cinders, etc. So he went to Dwarka, and he was burning Dwarka, different places. Krishna got word and threw his Sudarshan chakra, and the demon fled. This big fiery demon fled. Sudarshan chakra burned him to ashes and proceeded to destroy the city of Kasiraj. And then came to where Kasiraj and Sudakshina, son of Kasiraj, was, and the Brahmins performed the sacrifice and burnt them to ashes. So according to the laws of nature, if you perform a sacrifice and you don't kill your victim that it was intended for, then you get killed. So choose your victim carefully, or else you might be in trouble. So who would know that? You spend all this money and time on a sacrifice to kill your enemy, and the it winds up burning you to ashes. I wonder if it says that in the rule book. It was in fine print. And what to speak of when the sacrifice was being performed by Tvasta, because Tvasta's son, Vishwarupa, was killed by Indra. And Tvasta wanted to perform a sacrifice to get revenge and kill Indra. So he performed the sacrifice. And sacrifices mean, you know, days at a time chanting Vedic mantras with a referee priest. And if you chant the wrong mantra, then the whole thing is spoiled. So just at the time was the priest chanted the mantra to kill Lord Indra, instead of chanting the word to kill Indra, instead of chanting the A short, he chanted it long. Indrahata, said Indrahata. So instead of getting a demon who would kill Indra, he got a demon who Indra would kill. Slightly different. Instead of getting a demon whose enemy was Indra's enemy, he got a demon whose enemy was Indra. Anyhow, as it turned out, that Indra killed Vritrasura. So that's how things work. Spend so much time and money chanting a mantra for days, mantras for days, and sacrifice, and it just winds up boomeranging and getting exactly the opposite effect that you wanted. But that's happening all the time. People want to get one result, and they get exactly the opposite result they were hoping for. They work hard. So many stories of people working hard to have a nice family, spending all their time trying to get the money to maintain their house and their children, and the wife gets frustrated with them. He's never at home. He's always working, leaves, runs away with someone else, sues him in court, gets all his money. He's worked 20 years, maintained the family, and winds up out in the street. I love you. So that's how the material world works. It's meant to disappoint people. So here it says the only real alternative, be sure what's going to happen. Because, first of all, people don't even perform any sacrifice. They don't even, most people, they get up at night. They don't even know the difference between day and night. Some people don't even see the sun anymore because they're asleep when the sun's up. And at night, when the witches and the goblins and the rakshasas come out, that's when they wake up, get their company. When the sun comes, they close their eyes like the owls. Don't have to be contaminated by the light. So what to speak of passing from this world, people, they don't think they're going to leave this world. They think they're going to be here forever. They're always surprised at the time of departure from this body. What to speak of preparing for it? If taking intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, eating, and it prepares you for death, then they're well prepared. Of course, they think that is all fairy tale, but there are many stories of people who left their body and they see things that are very strange. One devotee was saying how her father kept on, when she was visiting the hospital, said these horrible looking people there, they keep on coming and looking at me. And when Stalin was leaving his body, his daughter reported that he looked up and said, "Get them out of here, get them out of here," before he died. Guess they didn't listen to him. So they may think it's a fairy tale, but actually it's not as nice as a fairy tale. Conclusion is that the only real safe way of preparing ourselves for leaving this body is to chant Hare Krishna. Because without chanting Hare Krishna, there's probably no question of real devotional service. And the only, so therefore, the junction, even in the Nectar Madhuri Kandambini, at Anartha Nivritti, which is the junction between just ordinary practice of devotional service and actually entering into real devotional service, the main focus is offenselessly chanting the holy name. So if we're going to focus on anything, we should focus on offenselessly chanting the holy name. And that can help us bring us from one state of existence to the next, so that even at the time of death, we don't have to worry about exactly where we're going. Wherever we go, we'll be auspicious. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. It is mentioned in the 26th chapter that one who passes in light, that he does not come back. I'm just wondering, there are, I think, some people that also pass away on the during the light, and
yeah, if you turn they're the not devotee. On, you're right. When you're passing from this body, if you turn the lights on, you'll be all right. Could you at least light a candle? No, light means in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Not just the sun's up. Well, no problem.
Okay.
That means in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, what's mentioned here is Agnir Jyotirha Sukla, which actually refers to the sunlight. But ultimately, because the context that's being used here means in Krishna consciousness or not. Because it says, if one passes in devotional service, he'll be all right. Not that 50% of the people go back to God. Because the sun was up. Anything, yes.
Okay. There's one question through internet. Marcel is asking, how can we prepare well for death?
Well, make sure you bring along a lunch pack in case you get hungry. No, this is what we're doing. We're preparing for leaving this body, so-called death, by changing our consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. That's the only thing we have to do. Otherwise, there's no preparation for death. You know, you have your list, check, check, check. I got one more thing left. Wait a second. Gotta finish this up. So, it's the only preparation for death is to chant Hare Krishna. That's the most important preparation.
I have one question. My question. Maybe I already know the answer, but just by listening to you. But anyway, I read today in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada was explaining that from Brahman goes out like the expansion of Krishna's energy, and at the beginning, we present to people that aspect of God is the energy.
What
is the energy? Is the energy like that? They even accept the aspect of Almighty. I mean. And then, when they grow, they develop more, then we say there is a person behind it or a source of this energy. So, yes, how does this happen?
How does it happen?
Yeah, this change.
What switch?
This acceptance of aspect.
Oh, well, we're not switching. We're trying to accept Krishna. Along with Krishna, we understand Paramatma and Brahman. We're not trying to switch from one to the next. But people sometimes take the indirect path. They don't hear about Krishna, but they try by mechanical method to come to Brahman realization and then Paramatma realization. And ultimately, if they're fortunate, they come in contact with the devotee, and then they can begin devotional service to Krishna. But we're starting from Bhagavan, and by realizing Krishna, we automatically realize Brahman and Paramatma in full.
How about, if I understood right, it was more like, it was easier for them to even accept the aspect of God, people who doesn't believe in God, or even think of Him, that He even exists.
We tell them that there's a God, and we tell them, in this age, we don't preach impersonalism. And even if one takes out the path of impersonalism, then Prabhupada writes in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes very difficult at the end of the impersonal realization to accept Krishna as a person. Because due to long impersonalistic absorption, they can't really accept the personality very easily. So therefore it's not recommended at all, the path of impersonalism in this age.
I thought like it's more like accept this and then slowly they will gradually.
First of all, the path of impersonalism is not so quick. It's real slow, like 10,000 births or something.
Okay.
The living entity is eternally an individual soul, and if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the internal, knowledgeable aspects of his original nature. The blissful portion is not realized. By the grace of some devotees, such as transcendentalists, either learn in the process of jnana yoga, they come to the point of bhakti yoga, devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble, because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. Every living entity is partially independent, and one should know for certain that this unmanifest realization is against the nature of the spiritual blissful self. One should not take up this process. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness, which entails full engagement in devotional service, is the best way. Once they ignore this devotional service, then there is in danger of turning to atheism. Thus the process of centering attention on the unmanifest, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged at any time, especially in this age, is not advised by Lord Krishna. What's that?
12th chapter,
verse 5. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.